It's a real joy for me to introduce you to Rob. Some of you may not know Rob. I'm guessing that most of you do. Rob, come and join me. Rob has been a friend for a number of years, and actually it's a mutual friend that introduced us, a guy called Andy Street. And the first time I met Rob, I just be honest with you, Rob, it was fear and trepidation that I came over to your house, because he's got a bit of a reputation as a guy that listens to God and will ask you penetrating questions. And he did both of that. You probably don't remember this, but the first time that we met, Rob asked me the kind of questions that you think, surely, Rob, we've got to know each other for a few years. But I just loved it. And he just asked these questions around who I was, where I was headed, what I felt God was doing, and then prophesied over me. And since then, it's an incredible thing. Rob and Pam pray for our family every day. And just want to say a huge thank you, Rob, for your love and your friendship. And worth saying, the last couple of times that you've been, I think you know this already, there's been a real sense that you've brought a prophetic word in season for us as a church. And so no pressure, but we do love you, and we are expecting to hear God's voice, right? Okay, Rob, over to you.
Bless you, Matthew. Thank you so much. And it is such a delight to be with you. So it feels like being with family. I try and come about once a year, but every day I pray for you as a church. In fact, it's a great joy each day to pray for Matthew and Liz and the girls, and to pray for you also as a fellowship. You say, what do you pray every day, Rob? Well, I'm not just praying for God's blessing on you. I want to be listening for what God is wanting to say to you too. God is speaking into the life of his church. So this morning, I'm not just coming to give another sermon. I want to share with you what I sense God saying at this time into the life of his church. It's a new season. A new term begins today. This is the first one back here. And the word I want to share with you today is God, I feel, is saying that this is a new season of revelation. A new season of revelation. God revealing his purposes to us. So it's not just us now doing a planner for the next year. We want to sense what is it God has in his heart for us as church, in our own personal lives, in our family life, in our church life, in our community. And the first scripture I want to take is these amazing words from 2 Corinthians. Well, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Then the next verse goes on to say, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. God longs to reveal to us his purposes, things he's already prepared for your life, for my life, for our family, for our church, for our community, for our world. And we're part of those unfolding purposes. And I want to today just share a little of how God wants to reveal those purposes to us and what that means for us in every area of our life. In fact, the other scripture we're going to look at is also just towards the end, Ephesians chapter 1. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. So not just God's purposes and his plans for life, but to know him better, as we've been sharing in our worship. Father, come now by your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, guide us into truth. We don't just want to be hearers of your word. We want to shape our lives from one degree of glory into another. Lord, my prayer this morning is that for all of us here, before we leave this meeting, we will sense a new openness to a new season of revelation in our lives. Come now, Lord, by your Spirit. Stir that in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. See, God has a plan and purpose for every one of our lives. And that plan and purpose is part of a greater eternal plan. But it covers every area of our life. Maybe some of you today feel, well, Rob, you don't know my life. You don't know all the challenges I'm going through, the health challenges, the kind of relationship problems I'm facing, the financial challenges. In every area of my life, even in your work life, your business life, God has plans and purpose. In fact, you know, on Friday at Woody's, at Woodlands church, we have a kind of IT incubator, startup incubators, where we help folk starting up their own kind of businesses. We're very much committed to bivocational ministry. We want to see people who not only are serving in leading churches and have amazing ministries, but also are involved significantly in a working world. And because the challenge is sometimes we train for ministry, and after a few years, we lose detached from the working place. It's how to be able to sense that working place. So Andy Street, who had a lovely link with you here, Andrew, one of our early ones as those startup incubators. And the commitment we make with many of them is that by once they've been 4 years and developed their first business, we help to coach them and train them and develop them and even angel invest in them. But they then go on to a four-day week. And so for Andrew, he went on to a four-day week many years, and he went on to a three-day week and a two-day week and a one-day week, and now he's full-time in kingdom ministry. On Friday, we bring together once a month. So we have now across the city 80 of those, all with their own businesses, all startups, etc. And we bring them together regularly and have a kind of session together. So I was with them on, it was the beginning of a new season there. They've been break over the summer. And amazing just to share with some of them. Some have just only started. But one of them, you know, yesterday I had a further conversation with one of them, who now heads up, these are global companies, some of them, big companies, you know, and this is a senior leader who most likely has many tens of thousands of staff now under him. But he said to me, Rob, you know, one of the things where life is so challenging these days with a changing world and so many pressures, he says, but one of the things we talked about a few weeks with him, I have a kind of personal mentoring session with him, is he says, just that simple prayer. He said, I pray it constantly every day, Lord. Just those simple words. Oh God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm just learning more and more that God has his plans and purpose for my life. The most important thing is be in tune with that. You know, there was that amazing character. He was just an old, dear old man, a man of prayer. And I feel called to a life of prayer. I mean, we're quite a dear old, although in a few months' time I'll be 80. So one of the amazing things that you never retire from prayer. And prayer is a key part of life, really. And but this man in scripture we read in Luke 2, his name was Simeon. He was a man of prayer. And in Luke 2, it gives us amazing just three verses. This is Luke 2, verses making Luke 25, 26, 27. And the way in which the Holy Spirit was upon him. In fact, Luke 2 says the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. And then it says the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah. Now, you imagine centuries of centuries, the people of God, all those promises that one day the Messiah would come, generations had lived and gone. And God is saying to this ordinary man, this dear old man of prayer, Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Messiah. His whole life was now shaped by everything he did every day. And he says the next thing in the third verse, it goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit moved him to go into the temple at that moment. And he goes into the temple just at that moment, even though he'd been in many. And just at that moment, in come these parents with their little baby in their arms. It's Jesus, the Messiah of the world. And he recognizes and takes that baby in his arms. And it's just this amazing picture. What does it mean for Simeon? Not just God's purpose for his life, but he's part of an eternal plan that for centuries God has been unfolding. And this is part of it. We're part of God's eternal plan. God has plans and purposes for every one of our lives. Now you say, yeah, but for Simeon it was more significant because over all those centuries, God had made us promise the Messiah was going to come, and he was living in expectation when it happened. Wait a moment. There are as many promises in Scripture that the Lord Jesus is coming again. What does it mean to live for us to live in that expectation? That Maranatha, even so come, Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus, that amazing moment, having conquered death and the grave, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, the wonder of the cross, and then the resurrection, and then the ascension. And as he ascends up into heaven, he literally is disappearing in the clouds, and his disciples are stood on the ground with gaping mouths and gazing eyes, and a message comes from heaven. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you have seen go up into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. You say, but wait a minute, Rob, that was 2,000 years ago. One of them standing there was the Apostle Peter. He's getting to the end of his life now. He's getting on for 80. And he writes these amazing words. He says, you know, in the last times, we see it today, scoffers will come. It'll be a cynical age, sarcastic sort of age, where people will mock. And do you know what they'll say? Where's the promise of his coming then? 2,000 years have gone by. Where is he? And Peter says, you need to understand this, that with the Lord, 1,000 years is like one day. Those gaping, gazing disciples, they look up and that was in God's timing, day before yesterday. Oh, so it's going to be then, it could be another 1,000 years then. No, it's not. God is careless about time. He's just patient, long-suffering, not that any should perish. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Every day of my life, for at least the last 50 years, more than that, most likely, more than that, more than 60 years, every day of my life. In fact, our children, when they were growing up, used to sometimes smile in the morning. They'd ask, because I'd get up in the morning, I'd draw the curtains back, and they would see me there for a few moments, my lips moving. They'd say, Dad, what are you doing? Every day of my life, when I draw those curtains back in the morning, this is what I say. Is it today, Lord? Is it today? You know, that expectation stirs something in me that shapes all that I do that day, every day of my life. I want to live in the light of this expectation. That's what Paul says. In the light of this, what sort of manner of life should we be living? How should it shape our lives? See, God has unfolding purposes for our lives that are part of that eternal purpose, just like for Simeon. How does God reveal those purposes to us? It's one thing sometimes just to bring up kind of prophetic word. So last time I was with you, I won't test you, but I shared with you last year a kind of prophetic word for the year. It was these simple words: expect a fresh wave of my spirit in prayer. I prayed for many of you for that expectation. I shared with you what I was already feeling. I think I was with you July last year, the middle of the year, and already I'd felt stirring. God has been stirring my heart for a next young generation. I'm the opposite end of that age range. But I really felt God stirring. I'm thinking, oh, goodness me. There's been generation X, generation Y, generation Z, and I felt God say to me, there's going to be a new generation, an alpha generation, a new wave of my spirit. Wonderful to see what God has been doing. Wonderful to hear of your 9 baptism just recently. God is on the move. There's a turning of the tide. And as I'm praying, I'm sensed, but God, what does that look like? And I've always had a heart for what used to be Avon, for those who are old enough to remember. That was the greater Bristol area. It was over 1 million people. It used to stretch down. We tend to use today for simple guidance, the way we look regularly at what's happening across that wider period. And we use it with the BS. The BS code and the BA code. That's BS, if you're postcode, just like this one here is, BS 37, I think, isn't it? Or 37 or 39. And so you're part of it. You're part of that. So I every week look at what's happening across that region, the way we do it. So with the Alpha generation, remember I shared with you at that time? I contacted the Alpha office in London, and particularly to ask about the Youth Alpha. And the person there said, oh, Rob, this is really exciting that you're asking about this. He says, because we're about to launch a new Youth Alpha course in January 25 this year. I said, really? Yeah, he said, and he told me a bit about it, so excited about it. And I'd also just heard, it was a schools week over in Bath where they'd had a band there, and I think I told you about that, really. And so I'm really feeling stirred now for this 1 million people, which has always been my heart, for those 1 million people of the wider Bristol area, which includes Welton. You know, we had our honeymoon up here in Welton. Imagine that. Those of you remember dear Nurse Whittington, remember her? So in her home, that's where we spent our honeymoon. So a special place in our hearts, I tell you. And for that 1 million people, therefore, what would it mean to see a real, even to see a ripple effect among any sociological group, you need to reach at least 5%. I doubt if the church reaches 1% to those 100,000 young people in that 1 million people. So I'm now praying every day. When I was with you in July, that's what I shared. I'm praying for 5,000 unchurched young people to be reached over this next year. And also to see 50 new Youth Alpha courses across the BS, BA code. So you're part of it, and you've been part of it. I gauge with the Alpha office every month. I look at how we're doing on it, etc. Because 50 would be twice what there's ever been, ever, in any year before. Well, it's all happening. I mean, that's wonderful. When you sense that, sometimes we share a prophetic when we've forgotten it about people, but it's happening. So for this year, we've now just, in fact, planned our schools week. It's in October, so it'll be next month. And the plan is for 5,000 unchurched young people, five schools, the main schools across the city, 5,000 unchurched young people will reach. For youth alphas, we've been sat them left, right, and centre all around the region. Not just 50 plus, but twice what we'd ever, not just twice what we'd, but far more than that, has been happening this year across this blessed region. God is on the move. And my sense is he's saying to us at this time, this is a new season of revelation. Not just that whole big picture, but you're part of that eternal plan for your life. You may be making decisions this week that you're struggling with at the moment, but what does it mean to wait upon God, to sense his unfolding? What you can't see with your eye, you can't hear with your ear, you can't understand with your mind. Well, how are you ever going to know it? God says, I'll reveal it to you by my Spirit. You know, just a few weeks back, Andy Street and myself and a number of other leaders were invited up to the House of Lords. In fact, our city mayor, Marvin Rees, has just become Lord Rees and was being installed in the House of Lords. We were going to pray with him. In fact, we prayed in Committee 1. That's that big committee in the House of Lords. We often see those inquiries going on. And here we are, sat around it with two lords, in fact, as well as Marvin, praying over them. And we want to share with them, because over the years in the city, for Marvin, when he first became mayor, we felt a prophetic word for the city that it would be a city of hope. And that became a significant factor as part of his open State of the City talk. And it eventually became a plaque in City Hall, where there's only two plaques there, the two prophetic words we've had over the last 50 years. One was City of Refuge, which about 40 years ago we shared. And today there's a plaque that says City of Hope. And I said to Marvin as we're there, sat praying, Marvin, I feel for this year, God is saying this is a new season of revelation. For not just the city, but for our nation. During the coffee afterwards, I spoke with Marvin's new parliamentary advisor, a young fellow called Matthew. If you are listening to this recording, Matthew, I will encourage you. So I have told him this. And he shared, I knew him, he was from Bristol originally, and this illustrates how God is inching every area of our life. None of us are limited. You may say, I'm too old, Rob, or too... No, you're never past it. Matthew told me he's a young married fellow, bright spark, fairly significant in Parliament, and has three children. The middle child, a boy, was born blind and cerebral palsy. That night when I went back from London, I felt God stirring me that night so strongly that this prophetic word was going to be of significance to them as a family. For young Sam, what no eye can see, what no ear can hear, what no mind can conceive, God can reveal by his Spirit. I eventually shared him the next day, and he came back so excited. He said, Rob, you know, we took Sam to church, and he couldn't see, and he's cerebral palsy, but as we're worshiping, he said, we saw Sam stirred like we've never seen him. As if the Holy Spirit could reveal, though you can't see, you can't hear, you can't think clear, with your spring group, it's happening. Whatever the limitations, don't ever limit what God can do for each of us. Don't make an excuse that you're too old now, too limited, your hearing's not so good, or your eyesight's failing. What eye cannot see, what ear cannot hear, what the mind of man cannot conceive, what God has already prepared for those who love him. He's already planned it. And he wants to reveal it to us by his Spirit. You know, that coming of the Lord Jesus should be a constant incentive to us in sharing our faith. You know, Scripture says an amazing thing. It says that we should be, as it were, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. But then it says that we should be hastening the coming of the Lord. How can we hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus? We don't even know the date or time. Well, this gospel of the kingdom got to be declared to all the world. Then the end shall come. So every time you share this good news with somebody, you're hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus. I find it such a stirring at times, a sense in the light. Is it today, Lord? Who am I going to meet today? You know, we've had new neighbours either side of us, and, you know, it's like sometimes it's harder for your neighbours, isn't it? But anyway, this new neighbour moved in last year, and Pam and I went in to say hi and to welcome to the area, etc. A young professional fellow, a bright spark, brought up in a Christian home, but during his teens, he became disillusioned. Not just turned away, but became an ardent atheist, follower of Dawkins and those other rather assertive atheists that there were. They tended to fade away a little bit now, but he was a follower of those and was full of different arguments. He knew I was involved. Well, I told him he'd ask me. I told him I was involved in church life and so on. And we were wondering what to do. So we'd invited him to come back to our home one day after work just for a coffee. And it was about 5 weeks later, and he came in. He said it was only going to be for half an hour popping in. And I thought, Lord, what do I do? I know he's going to, because he knows I'm a church leader, as it were, he's going to enter into some of these arguments about the existence of God. And I didn't want to just get into some sort of debate. And because you can sometimes win an argument but not win a soul. I felt God say to me, remember, Rob, it's a new season of revelation. Just listen to me as you're talking. So he talked, and he talked very fully with lots of questions, as it were. And in the middle of it, I suddenly felt God say to me, just ask him this. Now, he's a fellow brought up with Sunday school, knew many of those Bible stories, I'm sure, but I just said to him, his name was Thomas. I said, Thomas, have you ever read the biography of Jesus with an adult mind? He said, no. He said, I haven't even got a Bible now, he said, and I'd never read it. And I put out of my back pocket a copy of John's Gospel. I just give my one away, so I haven't got one more. But anyway, no thicker than, only a little thicker than my wallet here, as it were. And I said, you know, this is a biography of Jesus. This life has changed the lives of millions of people around the world. And I opened it up. It's one of those John's Gospels that got highlighted verses in it. And it, you know, where Jesus says, I've come the amount of life and life in all its fullness. And then I said, you know, Thomas, there was someone by your name, Thomas, that was a follower of Jesus. And when Jesus got crucified, hung on that cross, the disciples, they all ran away, one of them betrayed them, but Thomas, the bottom fell out of his world. In fact, Jesus appeared, risen from the dead, a few days later to some of them. And Thomas wasn't there. And the others said to him, Thomas, we've seen Jesus alive. He said, once bitten, twice shy. Not for me, he said. I'd have to put my finger in those nail prints for me to believe. I'll never believe. A week later, Jesus appeared again to them, and Thomas was there. As far as we know, he never put his finger in his hand. He just fell before him and said, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says his amazing words to him, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen me. Blessed are those future generations, even 2025. People that may not see me in the flesh, but may believe. 2,000 years, how are they going to believe? And strangely enough, John, the author, puts a little sentence here of his own. Normally, he's just describing what's happening. You know, Jesus appeared to them. And then John writes, there are many other miraculous things Jesus did that I've not recorded in this book, but I have recorded in this book sufficient for anyone to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing to have life in his name. I said, Thomas, you know, that little booklet there, the writer himself says there is sufficient here for anyone. It doesn't record everything that Jesus did, but there's sufficient for anyone to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and to find life in his name. He said, does it really say that? And his name, Thomas? I said, yes, Thomas. He said, can I borrow it? I said, you can borrow it, yes. I said, but why don't we look at it together? Why don't you borrow it, and in a few weeks' time, when you've got a chance to read, maybe just read the first three chapters, and then email me your questions. He didn't actually email the questions, but we met 5 weeks later. He had them on his mobile phone, and he went through his questions, lots of them. I've done it with hundreds of people. The next door neighbor, the other side, in fact, a lady, a Catholic, who'd given up going to church and couldn't understand the Bible, and said, Rob, you go to church? No, I said, I do sometimes. She said, oh, she says, I'm struggling because, you know, I've stopped going to church. And anyway, she came to church with me that night. And afterwards, she was really interested to know more about the Bible. And so we started John's Gospel, just like I started with Thomas. And a few months before this occasion with Thomas, and we got to that passage of Thomas, those words of Thomas, and my neighbor next door, her name was Olivia. When I got to that passage, I said, Olivia, this was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We've been doing this for some weeks now, Olivia. Has it helped you to understand who Jesus... Oh, she says, I realized he really is someone very significant. I said, but it goes on to say that you could know life in his name. Is that something you would like? Oh, she said, I'd love to know, but I wouldn't know where to begin. Would you like me to help you find that? Well, how could you do that? Well, I said, for many people, it's often those simple steps of kind of ABC that I've shared with you many times. I've been with you here. Just admit your need. Don't make excuses. Don't say it's my upbringing or my... Just say, I'm sorry to you, God, for all the wrong things I've done. B is to believe that Jesus, Son of God, loved you and gave himself for you. And C is to commit your life to him. She said, but how do you do that? I said, well, many people just do that in a simple prayer, expressing those steps. She said, but I wouldn't know how to pray. Can I help you to do that? How would you do that? Well, I'll just pray slowly enough. You could pray to hear my neighbor, it's Olivia, praying. Tears were coming down my cheeks as she prays. Oh God, I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done in my life. And just to hear, commit a life to the Lord is wonderful to see. But you know, I finished John with my neighbor, Thomas. He hasn't yet become a Christian, but we've now started on Romans. And last Monday, we went through Romans 5 together, and he's so close to the kingdom. What does it mean for us, every day of our lives, the people we meet and share with? It's not just that revelation, that first revelation, but also for all of us, that Ephesians 1 chapter verse I read. This was Paul's prayer, not just once, but he keeps praying. He kept on praying this all the time. What was it? That the glorious Father will give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Now, for all of us, God wants us to know him better. We may have been Christians for 50 years or more, but there's more to come. My prayer this morning is that for many of us here today, we'll just be open for that new season of revelation. That prayer that Paul kept praying, I want to pray for you today. This glorious Father will give to you a spirit of wisdom and that you will know him better. This week I prayed with several people, and I usually take my little cruse of oil as I pray over them for that fresh anointing of the Spirit. And I want today just to invite you. We're going to just get the worship group out. We're going to sing this lovely old song that we shared, I think, last time I was with you. I really felt a kind of anointing on it over this past year. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall. Now, often when it's the final song, I might say, let's all stand. But I don't want you all to stand because it's the final song. But I do want you all to stand. If this morning you're opening your heart for a new season of revelation, to know him better, then just as we begin to sing, stand to your feet and I'm going to pray for you. Okay? I'm already standing. I want to know him better today. So as you begin to sing, feel free, only if you're open to that in your life, a new season of revelation, then feel free to stand as we worship Spirit of the Living God.